Good morning, church. How y'all doing? It is great to be with you. Even if we are here, we do not feel the full spring warmth that all these other people are getting to experience, but it matters that you are here, so thank you for being here. We are in the midst of spring breaks going out. I think, is it Wayne State? They have over 30. Is that true? Is there West? But Wayne State, what do they have?
Wayne State is next week.
Next week. 25 going on Wayne State next week. Western is out with over 30. EMU is coming back with over 40. And A2 just went out with over 200. Is that crazy? Yeah. We are believing that God is going to move in these trips in people's lives, that they would firm up lifestyles of worship, community mission, that people would be impacted for life, and that people would just be in awe. Our staff, too, just in awe of how God moves. And when I think of that word, in awe, I think we, you know, really to be awestruck at something, I think we that doesn't happen in our day and age all the time, especially when we throw the word awesome around all the time, which back in the day was very significant. It was used very rarely, and it was truly something that was awe-inspiring, that would literally cause you to stop. And today, my hope as we look at generosity is to catch a glimpse of the true awesomeness of God's generosity towards each and every one of us. And we've been working on a number of things as a church. Our value of generosity as our joy has been one of those, creating language and words around this. And a couple weeks ago, Kyle stood on stage and even shared how we feel like we need to lean into this in a greater way going forward as a church, not being hesitant or ambiguous about it or even shying away, but just talking about how generous God is and how he invites us to be generous with him. And so this is a step in that direction. This is not just for the city. This is for the whole church, campus and city, which we realize we're missing a lot of the church today on this particular day. But being that the next series is a seven-week part leading all the way through Lent, and we just finished one, this is the only place we could fit it in this semester. But that doesn't mean we're done for the year. We're going to be coming back to generosity and talking about it going forward. And we're going to encourage anyone who missed today to listen to this online. It's an important talk for the whole church. And so this next series, though, we want you to know, as we're moving into the seven-week part, is called In Remembrance. It will be a seven-part series aligned with the season of Lent and designed to deepen our understanding and experience of worship through the practice of communion. And the one thing I want to highlight for that means for the next 7 weeks, we're actually going to be partaking in communion every single week for the next 7 weeks, which is a little bit outside the norm for us, but we just want to let you all know that. That's where we're going. But before we go any further today, I just want to pray about today and this generous God we serve. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for each and every person that's here. Lord, it matters that we are in this room, and if we're catching this in the future listening, Lord, I pray that you would speak wherever we are in this moment. God, would we catch and just be in awe of how generous you are to us, Lord? And Lord, would we see what it looks like to respond to your generosity? We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. When I think about generosity as a church, the first place I go to is the start of the Bible, Genesis 1. And I don't have to go more than one sentence to be blown away at God's generosity. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," period. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is so rich, so deep. It's an inexhaustible verse, meaning we will always be learning about this reality. The observable universe is what we can see. Like, that is far less than the actual universe. Like, scientists can talk about this. The observable is 46 billion light years in any direction from ourself. So if you think about a sphere, 46 billion light years in any direction, that's 98 billion light years wide that we know and have a possibility of observing. But many scientists believe it's still expanding, so it's meaning it's seemingly endless. And within all of this, there's an estimated high-end 3 trillion galaxies. We didn't even know these galaxies existed until the 1920s. Think about that. Just 100 years ago, before that, we thought our galaxy was it. 100 years ago, that's what we believed. And it wasn't until 1990, 29 years ago, that Hubble Space Telescope was up and running, because they had to fix it, if you remember, that we did a week-long experiment, and they thought, we don't know if this is just going to be a waste, but they pointed it at a place in space that was completely dark, and they just stared for a whole week to let light come in and see how much they could see. And this is what we got back. This is the Hubble telescope, deep field image. Those are all galaxies. When they started aiming in this direction, it was black. And they stared long enough that light came through and they could see all of this. And they realized only later that these are galaxies. And mind you, this is in the midst of this 98 billion light year wide universe. And this is just us taking a telescope and looking in one direction. That's what we see. I mean, we can't even imagine doing that in a full circle at every angle. But that's what the universe is. It's just mind-blowing. And when I think about this about God, I just think, you made all this? Like, this is extravagant waste. I mean, seriously, who's ever going to go there? And this is just one direction. It's like, hey, you could look again. There it is. More. More. Good. What is going on? This is crazy. You made all this? For what? For us to live thousands of years, finally, till we have technology to stare out into space and go, oh, you're a lot bigger than I thought. Like, this is God. It's just more. And this is just living just into one of these many galaxies. We live in one. This is a Milky Way galaxy. And this is an artist's rendition. I don't care how many people or what they say. We cannot see our own galaxy. So if you've ever looked at something, they're like, hey, here's the Milky Way. And they show you a picture of the whole galaxy. It's not. It's someone else's galaxy, something else, or it's an artist's rendition like this, because we're stuck in ourselves. We actually can't get far enough away to look at our own galaxy. Does that make sense? We don't have technology. I heard that based on our current technology, it would take 40 million years to get far enough away to look back. So that's not happening anytime soon. And this is a bar spiral. So why bar? There's a bar in the middle, it's spiral. And this is where roughly the sun is. That's where, like, in this picture, a map, that's where our solar system exists. And this isn't bad. This next one, it shows you an image, too. It's kind of like, this is a little more, less drawn. This is, you know, probably some galaxy they took a picture of. But that's where our solar system exists in it. Our entire solar system, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune. And the width of our solar system is 1.87 light years, not even 2 light years. Amidst 98 billion light-year universe that we know about. And no space probes have ever even visited Neptune or Uranus. Like, we got there, we actually had a flyby. We had a probe, Voyager 2, go by them because its only mission was to go by Jupiter and Saturn, and it was so good that we changed the coordinates and kind of flew by to see. But the furthest we've ever really gone with a space probe to really investigate is Saturn. We sent up to Saturn the Cassini spacecraft. Took 20 years. It flew around. It was a 20-year mission. It went 300 times around Saturn. And this is an image, which is cool. This is like the furthest out in our solar system looking in. This is the backside of Saturn, a composite image. And you see a few dots. Do you see those? Some of those are planets. All right, I'm going to zoom in here. There's Mars, Venus, and there it is, our first glimpse of Earth. That dot is the Earth and the Moon. We're going to zoom in again. There we are. That's it, that blue dot. And they actually called this image the day Earth smiled back, because it was the first time in history that we knew a picture was going to be taken of us. So apparently people who were in the know were like standing and smiling, hoping to be captured. But the day the Earth smiled back. And we are so small. We are nothing in the expanse of the universe. It shows me the magnitude of God, and it just sets me right every time I look at the stars. I talk and look about God. My thinking about myself, my place in all of this, it's just, I'm not the most important thing in the universe. I can't possibly understand everything. I can't hold it all together. I'm just a human. And now in the vast expanse of the universe, man has ventured out and traveled as far as the moon, which is amazing. I mean, we have the space station is like if you were at your front door and you stepped out on your welcome mat. That's the space station. Going to the moon is actually like going to the end of your driveway. You could turn around and you could see the whole house. The first time that happened was in the 1960s. 1968, December 21st, we launched the Apollo 8 out of Earth's orbit and went to the moon for the first time. And as it circled the moon, one of the astronauts said they could hold up their thumb and blot out everything they knew. The whole Earth, all of history, all of our problems, all our struggles, and just how insignificant we were in that moment, they realized. And it was Christmas Eve, 4 days later, and they were scheduled to have a live TV broadcast with the world. And upon seeing the world as never before and speaking to all of humanity that was tuning in, they wrestled with what to say, because Borman, one of the guys there, the three astronauts, Frank Borman, James Lovell, and William Anders, Borman had been advised, say something appropriate. No pressure, right? And this is what they said. So powerful. The reading from Genesis, the first 10 lines, and it was done with an expectation that this would resonate with as many people as possible, and that it wouldn't just be for Christians on Christmas Eve. And its emotional impact startled many viewers, including the anchorman on live TV, Walter Cronkite, whose eyes filled with tears. Some of you may have just had your own eyes filled with tears in that moment. God's word, and looking back, they didn't see that image on live, they just saw the moon passing by, but that was what the astronauts could see. And it was in later missions that they caught glimpses of that. And it's just amazing that God made everything. God made everything. The heavens, the earth, everything we know. All the expanse. And you don't have to see everything we've just looked at to even understand all that or be blown away by it. Because you've stood on this planet and looked up and seen the stars. You may have even seen the Milky Way, like in this image. Milky Way is that bar on the right, not the left. That's a tree, just so you know. And King David is looking up in the Old Testament, and he says as much. He says in Psalm 8, O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. When I look at the night sky and I see the works of your fingers, the moon and stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think of them? Human beings that you should care for them? Take a look at this next image. This was actually from the last mission, Apollo 17, to the moon. This was called Blue Marble, where they captured the entire picture of Earth for the first time. Our home planet, third from the sun. It's the only place we know so far in everything we've studied that's inhabited by living things. While Earth is only the fifth largest planet in the solar system, it's the only world in our solar system with liquid water on the surface. The moon, the angle of the Earth sits at, our distance from the sun, the plate tectonics and the recycling of Earth's crust, the magnetic field, the gravity, the atmosphere, this planet we call home is absolutely fine-tuned for life, for human beings to exist. And when David says, what are human beings that you should care for them? We don't have to go much further than what those astronauts read to get to Genesis 1:27 that says, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. You see, we bear the image of God. We were made to have relationship with God, to walk with him, to talk with him. It is amazing. And that perfection lasted, you know how long? One page in the Bible. One page, and humanity turned on the creator of all this and said, I know better. We call that the fall of humanity. And yet God loved us. He loved us so much. He did the unthinkable. He did something that is just as mind-blowing as making everything in the first place. And it's this. It says, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Do you see that? Do you see the unbelievable generosity and awe of God in this? Will you read this with me? We'll say it out loud together. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish and have eternal life. This is one of those inexhaustible verses. We'll always be learning more about this, the depth of this verse. And Romans 8:39 says, no power in sky above or earth below, indeed nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, God made everything. He also gave everything. He gave everything. He gave his own son. And this is where everything we've been talking about the last 7 weeks, the pathway, comes to life. 2 Corinthians, Jesus died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Indeed, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for him. You see, the response to this generous, overwhelmingly generous God is to be generous back. It's to not live for ourselves, but to live for God who literally lived, died, and was raised for us. We no longer live for ourselves. That's where true generosity comes in. And as a church, our value is generosity is our joy. And it says to encounter Jesus is to come alive with joy and gratitude. As people who are in awe of the generosity of God, we cannot help but give generously in turn. And having tasted the riches of his grace, it is our joy to share our time, talents, and treasure with others. So let's give our time, let's give our talent, let's give our treasures. You heard it earlier when we talked about it, that generosity is an act of worship, a way of declaring that we trust God to provide in our own lives. It's a communal act, a way of contributing alongside our brothers and sisters, and it's a missional act, a way of giving beyond ourselves to see kingdom dreams become reality. We desire here at New Life that everyone would be, that we collectively would become a people that are so generous that our generosity causes others to pause. That it would be just like that when people stand in front of the stars and go, this is insane. And we have those awe moments that our generosity would create that in others' lives. That they are impacted by the generosity of this church collectively and individually through all of you so much that people would be moved to awe. And then we have an opportunity for the gospel to come through. See, we have incredible dreams as a church, and God is doing so much more than we could have imagined already 1 year into this vision, a year and a half. And this is kingdom-mindedness that we're talking about. Even our time, when we talk about time, talent, and treasure, our time to serve God and his kingdom, whether by taking an ongoing action with the discipleship pathway along with someone else on your own or in a group, or going to a small group, or serving on Sunday morning, or investing in New Life Kids, or the youth program, whatever it is that you're giving here or giving out, your time, you're never going to look back and regret it when you give your time to God's kingdom. And talent, oh my word, I want to see us grow in this as a church. Not because we don't have it. We have it. We are stacked with talented, brilliant individuals in this church. And we as leadership, we want to find more and more ways that we can allow you to engage in what we're doing, but also to encourage you and fan into flames, you in your own careers, your own profession, your own school, your own home, your own neighborhoods. Lean into your talent and gifts and strengths. Live for the kingdom wherever you are. God wants to break out in his generosity through your gifts and talents. I want us to invest well with your time and your talents. And advancing after kingdom dreams takes money. It's an important topic, and we're going to talk more about it as a church as we go forward, sharing about where we are at in terms of vision, projects that we're trying to do, operational costs. And we know this is important. We have heard you say, hey, the more we know and can understand, the more we can trust, the more we can believe, we want to invest. We want to be a part of this with our time, talent, and treasure. So because you want to know, we want to grow in even sharing that. And we're going to share some, even in this season. Like right now, we're in a season of need. And that's not why we're doing this. It just lines up. We're cool with it. We saw this coming. We sent H2O Church last year, the Western Michigan church plant, and we saw over 30 people, pastors, staff, city families, and even at least one student transferred for a semester from Michigan to Western. Isn't that awesome? 30 people gave time and talent to see this thing happen. And with them, tons of investment of treasure. And the impact of that is the Great Commission, it is beautiful. It is so beautiful to see people go. It is so painful too. And we experienced the relationship pain of seeing friends and loved ones go, people we're doing life with. But the beauty is we've seen 7 people baptized over there already. Over 30 people going on a spring break trip this week. Who knows what God's doing? It's amazing. It's so worth it. And seeing this coming, we had to decrease our budget this year by 6%. Which is the first time in like the last modern history of us tracking, at least 10 years, where we had to decrease the budget by 6% here as a church. And so as we go forward and we see the dreams we have in this 10-year vision, the first thing we want to do is we want to get that back. We want to recover that 6%. But then we want to go above, 24% higher than we were. So in the last year, we had to cut $3,000 a month or annually from $648,000 down to $612,000. Where we want to go is 30% higher than where we currently are. Recover the 6 and go 24 beyond, which is up to $798,000 annually. A 30% increase from where we're at. And what we're hoping to do is to invest and see our dreams become reality. Because we have a dream of showing people Jesus to all stages and ages of life. And right now, we don't actually have on staff a youth director. That's one of the first things we need to do. We want to hire a youth director. The amazing thing is we have a Chelsea Grotrian. Give it up. Volunteer woman, amazing leader, and she just took 14 chaperones up to Spring Hill last weekend. 61 people went, 34 middle school, 13 high school. It's amazing. She's incredible, and yet she's believing and trusting the Lord that we could hire a youth director. She wants one. She knows we have the need. We can do this. We can go after this. We also want to see our New Life Kids director go from 30 hours to full time. Last year, we bumped from 25 to 30. It's awesome. We have a lot of kids. It's one of our biggest programs, ministries in this church. It's to the youngest kids, and we want to see a full-time director. We also have vast facilities improvements. We own 2 properties, 2 acres worth $5 million in the heart of the city. God is amazing. Generosity of God has provided us to be debt-free on this whole thing at this point, which is incredible. Yet there's upkeep and costs that we've got to lean into in order to be good stewards of this. In total, the generosity of this church has sustained us, has moved us forward, and we're in the season of sending out Western. We need to grow. And so by 30% increase or $186,000 annually, it sounds like a lot, but if you took all of our monthly givers, all our regular consistent givers right now, and they on average increased by $125 a month, we'd be there. That's it. If you took all of the church, about 500 conservatively, you just take that number, it would be that if everyone either increased or started giving consistently for the first time, both campus and city, 500 wide, $31 a month, and we're there. Done. If we did that, we could instantly hire a youth director, bump our New Life Kids director up, knock out all these projects of maintenance and upkeep and development in our facilities that we want, and get ahead on, you know, big projects that are going to come that are just normal repairs for property improvements. And then at the end of that 3-year window here in our vision, we'd be able to hire a full-time facilities director as well. It's amazing. And we are not wanting to twist your arm. We want you to be joyful givers. That's what God calls us to be. But you see the generosity of God and you say, all right, how can I get involved here? You see the generosity of God through this church to you. How can you get involved? Where can you give? What can you do? What is God calling you to do? Being generous with your time, talent, and treasure. You see, the lavish and extravagant generosity of God is glimpsed when we look at his creation. And it's felt and experienced by his love and grace, but we know it when we give back to him. That you can see his generosity, you can experience it, but you really begin to know it when you're actually living it, when you are giving back to God. And so here's one item for you. When we talk about generosity, we actually call it a giving journey. And this is just something to help all of us engage with where are we at in our own giving. We have these handouts for you at the Info Center. You could grab one on your way out. But here's a couple pieces of it. This is basically the breakdown of the giving journey, that we have a consistent giver, an intentional giver, and a sacrificial giver. We'd love everyone in the church who gives to become consistent, meaning you give regularly, whether that's monthly, annually. Monthly would be awesome. Intentional is saying you're giving, not just giving of what's left, you're going to give first. You're going to be intentional about it. You're going to leverage that. And then sacrificial is saying, I'm going to wrestle. I feel like the Lord is causing me to wrestle with my life. How am I living and what changes could I make in order to give to what God wants me to give? And there's gaps that you have to overcome. To become consistent, you overcome the infrequency gap. To become intentional, you overcome the discretionary gap, meaning you're not just giving out of what's discretionary, but you're giving first. And the sacrificial is out of the comfort. Like, well, I kind of like all this. And maybe God's saying, well, give a little up because I like these people or I like what this is and I want you to give. And then this is another part of that sheet that you could look at is to how to overcome the gaps. Is the infrequency, prioritizing giving. Prioritizing giving first moves you to the intentional. And then prioritizing giving first that governs living moves you into the sacrificial, overcoming the comfort gap. And as we look at all this, that everything God has made and that God gave everything, the question is, what am I giving to God today? How are we going to give beyond our one life, our own circumstances? And let us give our time, our talent, our treasure to God's kingdom. Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for all of us, how are we not also with him graciously given everything? Like, he gives us everything. Do we recognize that? In the vast expanse of the universe, this amazing planet we get to walk on, our job, our talent, our life, our time, every treasure we have, do you see it as coming from God? Because when we do, it becomes so much easier just to say, how can I not give? I want to give back to you. Lord, speak to me. It's that how of discipleship. How do you want me to live? Can I obey it with my life? Can I involve others in this? And where I want to end is thinking back to David, who said, what is man that you're mindful of him? At the end of his life, he had a vision and a passion to create a house for God, a temple, a physical dwelling place. And God said, you're not going to be the one to build it, but he resourced him. And God gave amazingly abundant, just loads to him. And then he handed it to his son, Solomon, who would be the one to build it. And upon receiving all that, he prayed and he said this in his prayer. David said, O our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? Everything we have comes from you, and we give you only what you first gave us. We are here for only a moment, visitors and strangers in the land as our ancestors were before us. Our days on earth are like a passing shadow, gone so soon without a trace. O Lord our God, even this material we have gathered to build a temple to honor your holy name comes from you. It all belongs to you. And that's the beauty of a generous response to a generous God, is acknowledgement of it all belongs to him. And it's saying, you and your kingdom and your story is worth building into way more than anything I could possibly do on this earth. And we leverage our time, our talent, and our treasure for our King and his kingdom. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for how generous you are, Lord. I thank you for your creation, the universe, and how we get to glimpse a little bit more every year that goes on. God, and yet in every moment that we glimpse more, we are just further blown away at your generosity, your extravagant, lavish generosity, and that in the midst of all this, of creating everything, that you love us so much, you sent your son for us. God, may we be overwhelmed again today and in this season of Lent and up to Easter at your gift to us, your sacrifice to us, all that you gave to us. And Lord, would we lean in and want to give you our time, our talent, and treasure in new ways. And Lord, we are believing as a church, Lord, would you provide? We have dreams that we are believing are from you. Would you provide for this church? Would you take care of the dreams and the things we need to go after those? And Lord, would you do way more than we could possibly imagine? Lord, would what we think is just our little universe be, or our galaxy be blown up to realize it's a whole universe out there? Lord, that your kingdom even here would be blown up in our minds and that you would do exceedingly abundantly more than all we could ask or imagine. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.